national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Mike, I think the best way to start this conversation is to ask you if you were shocked by any of the firings, any of the openings that have, you know, any of the decisions been made. Did any of those surprise you going back over the last few days?
Atlanta's. I really thought that maybe they'd fire the GM, but that Raheem would get more time. Given the way that the team didn't quit and they won four straight games to finish the season, and you know, you finish in a tie for the division and knock Tampa out of the playoffs by the way that you finished. And I felt like when you look at the way the roster has been constructed, that there were some limitations that he was working with, kind of some head-scratching decisions, the way they kind of doubled down on some positions and then neglected other ones. So I thought he would get more time. The fact that he didn't, that was the most surprising. The other firings, John and Gannon, Kevin Stefanski, none of those, Pete Carroll, none of those really surprised me, but Raheem getting fired definitely was.
You think that even though that there were issues that kind of on the field that kind of kept rearing their ugly head, like multiple kick blocks, multiple returns, the special teams was a disaster, and Raheem basically said he refused to make a change. Now, I was kind of neutral on the Raheem thing either way, but even some of the deficiencies you mentioned with the roster, there were on-the-field decisions that cost this team multiple games, which was the difference in the playoffs.
True. I know there was, a number of issues with the special teams. I don't know that making an in-season special teams coordinator change was really going to do anything. I did expect that it was going to be one of those things. We see this lots of times where there's a coach that's on thin ice, and they say they go into the off season. The owner, team president sits them down and says, "Hey, you're going to stick around, but you will have to make changes to you. Like, you have to make changes to your staff." And then I thought, okay, we'd see what changes would be made. And then basically he would have gotten one more year to prove whether or not he could got it done. But like you said, there were some on-field head, scratchers that proved costly. And so I guess because of that, it wasn't even Arthur Blank, the search firm and their findings and recommendations were that, hey, you go ahead, clean house, start fresh, and go from there.
Yeah, if you were a head coach candidate at this point, Mike, which NFL team would you be looking at right now? Which vacancy do you think is the most appealing?
Let's see. So we've got Tennessee. They've got the former number one overall pick, and I think they have a decent amount of cap space. Cleveland's got a good defense, but kind of some questions on their offense, things like that. The Raiders are, they got a lot of stuff that they need to fix. The Cardinals, they've got question marks. Okay, is Kyler Murray done? I guess you could look at the Falcons and say, okay, they do have some young pieces. They've got their quarterback. I don't know. Them or the Titans, probably because of the quarterback situations that you're not starting from scratch. Now, again, we have to see how Penix does recovering from injury, but at least you've got a veteran, Kirk Cousins, who can hold things over for a while, and you've got a really dynamic player in Bijan Robinson. You need some more talent on offense, but you got something to work with. So one of the two of those teams, I think, either Atlanta or Tennessee, would probably be the more appealing of those jobs.
Mike, I want to ask you as well. I mean, maybe you do or don't have your finger on the pulse of this, but it seems like 2 years ago when we were going through this, and I believe there were 8 head coaching openings just a couple years ago when we hired Raheem Morris, but it felt like It felt like all the coaches kind of started fitting into different categories. Like, it was like Jim Harbaugh, you'd love to have him. He's kind of the bell of the ball, but he's probably not going to come here. And then you start going down from there. Is there any assistant coach or any coach out there in this cycle that you think, okay, he is the clear front runner for a lot of these jobs, and he'll have, his ability to make his own decision on where he's going to land?
There's not the hot coaches like that. Well, the last cycle, Vrabel was the rock star. You know, and like you said, the year before that, it was Harbaugh. And Bill Belichick, you know, generated interest from Atlanta, but not from a lot of other teams. There's not as hot a name. There are some intriguing names. I think Kevin Stefanski, even though things didn't work out in Cleveland, he never could really get that offense right, never could get the offensive coordinator, you know, position to find the right guy to help him run his offense. But he is a two-time coach of the year, so I think he will probably interview for almost all of these jobs because there'll be interest. Cliff Kingsbury in Washington, you know, they had injuries that to Jaden Daniels this year, but he is regarded as a guy that is a bright mind. Brian Flores, defense coordinator up in Minnesota, is definitely going to, you would think, get some, you know, some interest. Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator in Seattle. I know he was only there 1 year, but he has done an amazing job with Sam Darnold and that offense and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So there's some names out there. They're intriguing, but I just don't know if there's like a slam dunk rock star coach out there like we've seen, what, you know, like I said, Vrabel and then with Harbaugh.
Mike, what do you know about Ian Cunningham? He's obviously been with the Eagles for a little bit. Now he's with Chicago as their assistant GM, and he's a hot name. He's been reported that the Falcons have asked to interview with him. Tell us and our audience a little bit about what you know about Ian Cunningham.
Yeah, he's a guy that has been on the radar for a while now for a number of teams. You know, he is been one of those guys on that developmental track that they had with the accelerator, where they, you know, give them resources and connections and help guys develop leadership skills and things like that. And like I said, he was a key figure in the front office in Philadelphia. Now he's been in Chicago. And as you can see, Chicago has really done a good job of putting talent around Caleb Williams, and we saw them really take a big leap forward with Ben Johnson. So Cunningham's name has been out there as a guy that that people say, okay, it's only a matter of time. So, you know, this offseason, it's not surprising that Atlanta would be interested in him.
We are talking with national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones, on The Morning Shift. Mike, do you believe all the firings are done at this point, or do you see a few more on the way?
I am curious what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to be all-out firings, but I'm looking at Todd Bowles in Tampa. I'm looking at John Harbaugh in Baltimore, and curious what we're going to see with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh is once again one and done in the playoffs, is it a situation where we hear that he resigns or they have mutually agreed to part ways? And they, you know, after 18 years of not being able to get back, you know, that we see them decide to move on for him and he moves on, wants a fresh start. That's possible. If they win a game in the playoffs, then I think that, you know, he's still there. John Harbaugh is a guy that, again, like, really well-respected, well-regarded guy and coach in this league, a leader, but they have not been able to get over that hump. You know, it's been a while since, you know, they have been able to get back to the Super Bowl since they won it with Joe Flacco. And, you know, I think that the Biscottis are loyal, and I think that he's going to be okay, but he's been there a long time. You don't know if they sit down and assess and he decides he wants to change the scenery. So we'll see. Todd Bowles, they finished the season off on a terrible slide that second half of the season. I think they were 1-8 or 1-7, and then they won the last game. But then, you know, the Falcons kept them from making it to the playoffs. But I had heard that there's, you know, some talk that he was possibly considering retiring, even though he had just signed an extension. But so far, no moves have been made. So it might be something where they take some time and reassess this thing. But I'm looking at those three guys. It'll be interesting. There's always some surprising, whoa, came out of nowhere firing. And so far we haven't seen one really yet. I mean, yes, Raheem's a little bit, but there, I feel like there could be one other one that maybe we're not seeing yet.
Hey, Mike, real quick before we let you go, you know, Matt Ryan's rumored to be in line for the president of football operations job. How do you feel about that, former players never having any experience in the front office type role and just jumping in? I mean, we've seen it work a little bit. John Lynch is the one that comes to mind. I know John Elway is a guy, but John Lynch is the most recent. He was in the booth. The next thing you know, out of nowhere, he's running the 49ers, and it's worked out there.
Yes, it has worked out there. I'm not a huge fan of it just because, well, I guess, if it's going to work, and John Lynch did do this, he surrounded himself by veteran guys like Martin Mayhew, who'd been an executive for a long time. That front office had a lot of really talented guys. So if Matt Ryan does come in here, he better get a longtime talent evaluator who knows how all of the ins and outs. Like, he's never even like done an internship or anything like that. So he better get somebody who knows what they're doing that can kind of help him along the way. Otherwise, he's going in there, and there's going to be a lot of mistakes made just because you're learning for the first time. So I'm not saying that he doesn't have a vision. I'm not saying that he doesn't know talent. Obviously, he's been in locker rooms all his life, and he knows the dynamics of team and how it's supposed to fit together. But there's just a lot about being a general manager that you don't realize. And so if they do go that way, he better have a really top-level lieutenant to help him along the way.
Mike Jones, always good stuff, brother. Appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good one.